Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you today in the Lord's house. Good to see some back today that we've been out for various reasons. Some have been through some stormy waters the last few weeks, but you know, God has brought you through, ain't he? And he will continue to bring us through as we trust him each and every day of our life. I'm glad to know that God is, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we're dealing with in this life, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, he's always there. And it's good to see you today back in the Lord's house. Trust you've had a good week. As we begin another week, I trust this week will be better than last week for you. And we're trusting God just for that. Well, we start a new series today. I want to focus for the next few weeks on a very important subject to me, and I know it is to you. I want to title it simply, The Church of the Living God. The Church of the Living God. Take your Bibles and turn with me as we'll get to it in just a minute, the book of Ephesians. For the next several weeks, we're going to be working our way through this book, Ephesians. Of course, we know that Paul wrote this passage of Scripture. This was the first of the, what we call the prison epistles. There's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, or the epistles that Paul wrote when he was in prison in Rome for 2 years. And we're going to look at this in this way, the Church of the Living God. The question is going to be this, what is it like? The Church of the Living God, what is it like? You know, there's all styles and all shapes of churches today, isn't there? It flabbergasts me to just ride around sometimes, going where I have to go, to see the different kinds of churches today in this world. Quote churches, I say. We know there's churches that meet secretly, even in homes. In some places like China, that's the only way they can meet. And that's not bad, it's just good. We also know there are churches that meet in wide open theaters. There's churches that meet in, they worship in centers, they call it. It can be any kind of big center, civic center, whatever it is. They pack in a big crowd into the sanctuary, they call it. And they even have overflow crowds that watch on closed circuit TVs. They have so many people. And then there's also that handful of people that meet somewhere down here in a storefront and pray. What I'm saying, there's all kinds of churches, all styles. Sometimes out visitation, people ask you, what do you have to offer young people? What do you have to offer? That's not an insulting question. That's a good question. But I'm afraid sometimes people are more geared to finding what they want rather than what they need. And so, you know, again, you can find the church of your choice today. If you can't, you're not looking. Because they're all available to us. Wherever you want to go, whatever you want to hear, whatever you want to do. I know people that used to go to traditional churches. Now they're going to other churches. And for various reasons, they have changed. And, you know, I hope it's for the good, but sometimes I question it. I'm not judging, I just question it. But we find here that churches, no matter where they meet at, where they are today, buildings will vary from one to another. But the church, thank God, is not confined to four walls. Amen. It's not confined to four walls. We know that the church of Jesus Christ is people. People that have been born again, blood washed, trust Christ as their Savior. This is who makes up the church. We also see that it's his people of every race and every nation no matter who you are today, that people that love Christ and commit themselves to serve Christ, they're Christians and they're part of the church. I'm glad to know that I am a part of God's church. We know the church age began at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We know that it born in Jerusalem there, the church spread rapidly through the ministry of the apostles and the believers during this particular time. And because of persecution, we find the gospel was spread to other Gentile nations because of persecution. We also see that on three journeys, Paul himself with his workers, they established many assemblies in the Gentile cities, no matter where they went. One of those prominent churches was Ephesus, which is we're going to read about in the book of Ephesians. This was a tremendous church, and Paul is writing here to it. This church was established in about AD 53. We find that it was established there as Paul was on a homeward journey to Jerusalem. He returned in another year after that on his third missionary journey, and he stayed there for 3 years studying and preaching and teaching. And later, a year later, Paul was sent to prison to Rome because of him preaching the gospel. And we see there in prison, when Paul was in prison in Rome, this is where he wrote these four prison epistles. We find here, as we look at this one today, this prison epistle, Ephesians, how important it is. Now, Paul is describing this church as we look at it. Let me say, first of all, that Ephesus was not a little town. This was a city located on the coast of many seas coming in it. Of course, the big Mediterranean Sea below it. In fact, Ephesus was the capital of Asia. Ephesus had around, now this is 55 to 60 AD, folks, get this. I'm afraid sometimes when we focus back upon cities and towns in that era and that day, we think of small places. But Ephesus was a big place. History tells us that there was probably around 250,000 people in that city. That city had a wall around it that was 5 miles long. And within that 5 mile radius, there was over 1,000 acres of land. Tremendous city. Had harbors there. Tremendous economically. I mean, it was a flourishing city in its day. Also, they had a stadium in that city that seated over 24,000 people. Folks, this is in AD 60, AD 55 to 60. I mean, God gave people back then a lot of wisdom to build, to do things, a thing that we don't give them credit for. We find this is a tremendous place. And Paul had the opportunity to be there for 3 years to preach and to teach the Word of God. He saw many people saved. He saw many churches established, him and his workers, as they labored together there. And now we find that Paul is writing to them. And he's writing to them to encourage them. You ever get a letter from somebody you hadn't heard from in a long time? What does it do to you? Doesn't it encourage you? It encourages us to know that, hey, somebody's thinking about me. Paul loved those people and those cities around that him and his workers were able to minister to and to help. And Paul here in this book of Ephesians is describing the nature and the appearance of the church. The nature and the appearance of the church. He's also challenging the believers. He challenges them also, as we look at it, to function in their bodies, function as the living body of Christ while here on this earth. Now, when we think about the church, the church is very important. It's very important to you. It's very important to me. It should be. Someone said, you write down the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, right? That's how you spell church. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay, I'm right. Someone said, church means nothing unless you are is in it. Church means nothing unless you are in it. Now, whatever you and I invest ourselves in, we're going to find it's going to be interesting to us. I'm not going to invest myself in something that is not interesting to me. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time. My wife and I were visiting this past Thursday night. And we thank God we got a chance to go in our house, brother. It's a rarity. But we did, and we began to talk to this young man about different things, of course, about the Lord primarily. And I told him to begin with, not begin with, after in the conversation, I said, if you do not understand the fact that you're lost and that you need to be saved, well, what I'm saying to you is not going to mean anything to you. And until the scriptures itself, you read those scriptures and those scriptures convey to you who you are, I'm literally wasting my time trying to convince you. I can't convince you, but the Word of God can. See? So what am I saying this? Church means nothing unless you're in it. The more you get involved, folks, in church, the more it's going to mean to you. The less you're involved with it, the less it's going to mean to you. I'm trying to say to you, to myself, let's get involved. Why? Time's running out. The Lord's coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. And only what we do for Christ in this life is going to amount to anything. Just what we do for Him in trying to convince and talk to people about the Savior, sharing the good news that Jesus loves them, He died for them. That's what counts in life, folks. Now, I know we have to work, you have to do the other things, but in the process of doing that, don't forget, you can share Christ no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing. So the church of the living God, we find here Paul as he writes to this church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. Paul talks to them about the many wonderful things they received through Christ. Many wonderful things they have received through Christ in their life. He refers to the church as a body, as a temple, as a new man, as a mystery, as a bride. And we're going to be talking about these things in the next few weeks as we go through this. But it's very important also, he illustrated in talking about the church as a body, as a bride and all that, he talked about the unity and how important it is for a purpose to show how every individual is very important, no matter who you are. You know, it's amazing how God Himself, through love, tries to bring everybody together in Christ. However, mankind, through everything else, tries to divide people. But God has always been one to want to bring people together. And folks, He does it because He loves us. He loves us. You know, when God created the earth and everything in it, He created Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden, told them what to do, what not to do. He could have forsook them and says, okay, it's up to you. Do what you want to do. And when man sinned, disobeyed God, he could have neglected man. But he didn't. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. But because He loved mankind, He created. He loved individuals. We find that He Himself made a plan. He designed a plan. And God's plan is the right plan. It's the perfect plan. And He did this through the church, through the local church. Now notice here in Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul again is in prison in Rome when he wrote this. He was under house arrest for 2 years. And this is when he wrote this book. Paul must have loved God, knowing that he'd been put in prison for preaching the gospel. He was doing what God wanted him to do. We see here, what is the purpose, first of all, of the book of Ephesians? Ephesians is written for you and I, for the church, for those that, whoever reads it. He wrote it to the Ephesians, yes, but he wrote it also to us as part of the church. He wrote this book to reveal the purpose of God for the world. God had a plan. God had a purpose for this world being here when he created it. He didn't just create it and leave it, let it go. He had a purpose for creating the world. He had a purpose for creating the world. Now, how does God show to the world his purpose for the world? How does God reveal to the world, I'm talking about the people in the world, his purpose for us? He does that through his Son, Jesus Christ. He makes known to us why the world is here. Because he loves us. Jesus Christ came and died for us. This is what Paul is revealing here to the church here. The purpose of God for the whole world. The whole world. We also see that God has shown his purpose through his Son. His Son. God's Son is not here today, is he? How now is God working out his purpose on this earth? God is now working out his purpose on earth, not through his Son, but through his church. His church is his body. Jesus is not here physically, but his church is here physically. So therefore, God is today working in this world to reveal his purpose through his church, which is his body, which is the body of Christ. If you're saved, you're part of that body. You're part of the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about that later on. Also, he wrote this book to encourage the church to walk in the spirit of oneness, to be in unity, to be in one accord. He tried to encourage them to walk and to live that way. To walk and to live that way. We'll notice the words in verse chapter 1. Look at verse number 10. Look at the word together. He uses this word frequently, together. Talks about the unity of the church. In chapter 1, verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather what? Together in one all things in who? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. See, together. The unity he's speaking about. Look in chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us what? Together with Christ. Talking about unity here. Unity. Together with Christ. Look at verse number 6. And hath raised us up what? Together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul is encouraging the church here to be unified, to be together, to be together. And then we read over in verse number 22. Verse number 22. In whom ye also are builded what? Together for an habitation of God. How? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Together. He talks about being together. Not only does he note the word together, but he also notes the word one. One. Look in chapter 2, verse 15. 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enemy, intimacy, even the law of commandments, constraint, and ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Making peace. So we find that Paul uses the word together, and he uses the word one, to encourage the church to walk together in spirit and in harmony here. Ephesians has been called the queen of the epistles. It's a book that if you read it, the more you read it, the more you're going to love it, I guarantee you. You'll love it because of the encouragement it did. It is to you and to me. This great passage deals with God's eternal plan for the world, God's eternal plan for the Christian. And also, it deals with the great blessings of God that He has bestowed upon us, at those of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I trust as we get more in depth into it, that it will be an encouragement to you and to me as God's children. We're focusing on the church of the living God. What is it like? What is it like? And I pray that God will help us as we look at it together today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for the precious Word of God that you have allowed us to hold in our hands, to have here now to read and study together. And God, we ask the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, to direct our minds, direct our thoughts, our speech, everything that we do today. Lord, help us to honor you. God, do bless those that have been hurting, those that are hurting even now. Father, we know that only the Spirit of God can calm them, can comfort them, can strengthen them. And we pray that He will do just that today. Thank you for the dear folks that are here. Lord, help us, Lord, as we focus upon the church of the living God. Lord, we might love you more because we see the purpose for the church and what it's like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, back in chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, we see here the call of God. The call of God. I don't know of any subject that's any more valuable than the call of God. When God calls you, when God calls me, folks, that's very important. The call of God. Notice here, it's the greatest subject today that's imaginable. The call of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle. Now, to be an apostle. God had called Paul to be an apostle. What is an apostle? We know what an apostle is. It's one that's sent forth on a particular mission. God had called Paul to be an apostle. Now notice, this wasn't necessarily Paul's idea or Paul's plan for his life. This was God's plan for Paul's life. And that's more important, folks. What is God's plan for your life? What is God's plan for my life? The call of God upon us as God's children is very important in our lives. We see here God's call to Paul was to be an apostle. Was to be an apostle. And notice, by the will of who? Paul? No. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of who? By the will of God. See, it wasn't Paul's will. It was God's will for Paul to be an apostle. And we see because of that, he was a messenger of Jesus Christ to the world. A messenger of Jesus Christ to a world in his day. There around Asia and Asia Minor. So we see God's call to Paul. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now notice, not only God's call to Paul, but let's also notice God's call to the church and its believers. We see, notice, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We see God's call to Paul, God's call to the church, to the saints. To the saints. God's call to saints and the faithful. The saints and the faithful, those that have a new heart, those that have been born again, those that have been saved, those that were set apart and lived a dedicated life, holy lives to God, the saints, and those that were faithful, Paul says here, those that were surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the workers of Paul and the Christians that he knew during this time. This was Paul's the call to the church and to the believers. Notice also, he says something else about this. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God's call to the church and his believers, to the saints and to the faithful, but also to receive grace and peace. To receive grace and peace. This is why. Grace, folks, listen, you know this, but grace is not earned. We can't earn God's grace. God just gives us grace. It's unmerited favor. It's undeserved. I don't deserve God's grace, but I thank God for it. Thank God for his grace. If it were not for his grace, I probably wouldn't be here today. No doubt I wouldn't be in church today. I might not even be alive today. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. Grace is the free gift of God. The free gift of God. He just measures it out every day. Just exactly how much you need and how much I need each day. He gives it to us. I'm glad. We see also that it is extended out towards man. Grace and peace is extended to every man through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's grace is the only way man can be saved. It's by grace through faith that you and I are children of God today and that we're saved. So we find God's call to Paul, God's call to the church and its believers here in this passage of Scripture. The church of the living God, what is it like? What is it like? Look in verse number 23. Ephesians 1, 23. We look at verse 22 and 23. Chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? To the church. Now notice the next verse. The church, which is his what? Body. Which is his body. Is his body the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we find here the church is the body of Christ, as I've said before, you on this earth. That's what we are in this world. We're the body of Christ. We represent the body of Christ. Let me put it this way. The body, the church is likened to a body. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 4. Paul says this in regards to the Christian life and the service we're to live and serve. In chapter 12, verse number 4, as we have many members in how many bodies? One body. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in who? In Christ, and every one members one of another. The body of Christ is likened to our bodies physically. We all can't be eyes, we all can't be ears, we all can't be feet, but we all can be part of the body of Christ. And in that body, we can serve God together in unity and in harmony to accomplish his plan on this earth while we're here. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of the body of Christ. Now notice the creating of the body, how God himself created the body. In verses 1 through 14, we find this. Now look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, first of all, we note that the body of Christ, the church, was planned by God. It was planned by God. Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, listen. The church, the body of Christ, was found before the foundation of the world. God knew that when he created this world and put man in this world, that man was going to sin and disobey him. And God had a plan before the foundation of the world to establish a body of people to represent him on this earth and live their life for him. Because he's not going to be here. God's not going to be here. Jesus is going to be here for a short time just to do his Father's will, that is to come and die and to minister while he's here. And then he left. And now he's got us as a body to represent him, to represent the purpose of this world being here. You know, preacher's been talking on Wednesday night, a good subject, on the sovereignty of God. It's been very interesting to me. But I'm so glad to know that God has a purpose for everything he does. He has a purpose. He has a purpose for you being here today, and for even me being here today. I don't know what it is, but only God can reveal to each one of us why. But what I'm saying is this: God planned before the foundation of the world, he was going to have a church. He's going to have a group of mankind that would trust him, trust his Son, Jesus Christ as their Savior, and be part of the body of Christ and live and serve him. Notice in verse number 3, he blesses us. It was planned by the Father. He blesses us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those are blessings come from who? Jesus Christ. They come from Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today for the blessings that he bestowed upon us. He's chosen us. Verse 4, according as he has what? Chosen us. Not only has he blessed us, but he's chosen us. Aren't you glad that God has blessed you and chosen you to be part of his body on this earth and to represent him to a world that needs a Savior? Like this young man Brother Tower was talking about. Yes, it's exciting to be number one. But it's more exciting, folks, to be God's children. And to know for sure, whenever this life is over, I'm going to go where he is. And I'm going to spend eternity with him. Folks, that's assurance. The material things in this world are only temporal. They're going to pass away. But what we're talking about is eternal. He has blessed us. He has chosen us. He has adopted us in verses 5 and 6, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's will for you and I to be children of his children. He's adopted us through Jesus Christ. He's adopted us. He forgives us. Look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Notice, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his what? Grace. The riches of his grace. It's all because of him, folks. Yes, the body Christ was created, was in God's mind created. He creates his body, was planned by the Father before the foundation of the world. before the foundation of the world. Now, this all happened before the foundation. It was bought and purchased by the Son. Verses 7 through 12 tells us that, and our time is gone. But we'll pick up with this next Sunday, the Lord willing. As we're talking about the church of the living God, the church of the living God, what it is, it's a body. We're going to continue with the body next week, and we may even get into the temple. The church of the living God is a temple. It's a mystery. It's a new man. It's a bride. Paul talks about it all in the book of Ephesians. I challenge you this week to read the book of Ephesians, study it. And may the Lord help us as we go through this wonderful passage of Scripture together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to represent you in this life. Father, help us as we study and read together now this portion of Scripture the next few weeks. God, may you, through the Spirit of God, teach us the things that we need to know, that we might understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him here on this earth in our body as the church. Lord, we're going into the worship service. Would you bless, would you lead, guide, and direct? Bless the singing, the choir, the specials, the congregational songs. Lord, bless our pastor. Once again, as he brings the Word of God to us, may it challenge us. There's one here that's lost. May they receive Christ today before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.